Hey guys, Mandalore here. Before the episode even begins, I just want to quickly let you know that for the first time ever, I have added an addendum, a PS, a postscript, to this episode. I originally finished and published this episode last night, and as I was about to go to bed, I thought, you know, maybe I didn't say everything I needed to say. Maybe I was missing some facts. As you'll soon learn in this episode, I will be positing not one, but two theories, and choosing one over the other. However, the other theory, the one that I did not favor, there was a fact that I was missing, and I felt it was unfair to those who prefer that theory over the one I choose. It wouldn't be fair to them if I left out all the salient facts. So I went back in, unpublished the episode, added back in the fact in the way of an addendum, and now it is in the episode that you are about to hear. So if you want to hear that, please stick around, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello, how to do? Mandalore the Esquire here, coming to you with another theory. Well, not so much a theory, but more of a question from which we can spawn different theories. Hopefully a theory which will no longer become a theory. In the up-and-coming Darth Vader issue, I believe it's number 9 by Charles Soule, who is the author of Light of the Jedi. Charles Soule is a magnificent writer for, was it Disney Star Wars, a new canon. And he's really found he's somewhat of the Dave Filoni of the Star Wars, the literature side of Star Wars. And it's very interesting to see how he is going to, you know, reincorporate some legends into the new canon, but also in the same way flesh out the new canon such that it fills in the plot holes left in by the new movies, while also, you know, taking the franchise to new areas. So with that said, this question that I mentioned is something that I believe a lot of people have had on their minds since The Rise of Skywalker. And this question is, when did Palpatine become involved with the, when did he become involved with the dark side cultists on Exegol? And when did he discover Exegol? Well, or not so much, did he discover it, or had he already known about it? Did he and Darth Plagueis and other, perhaps, members of the Sith know about it? That's the overall general question. So today we're going to take a stab at that on today's episode. Okay, so when did Palpatine discover Exegol? When did he become in cahoots with the dark side cultists on Exegol? There are really only two answers to this, and we're going to try to rationalize which one makes sense. And if both answers seem reasonable, well then let's just try to pick one. You know, let's just see which one fits the overall, story of Star Wars, fits the overall character of Palpatine. What we know so far, based on The Rise of Skywalker and the Darth Vader line of comics, is that in the year, if not months, leading up to the Return of the Jedi, Palpatine has already established some form of base of operations on Exegol, and has already started hiding the holocrons, the wayfinders. Seeing The Rise of Skywalker, I saw the wayfinders, and immediately I thought, hey, look, it's a holocron. But apparently that's not what they're referred to, seeing as how their purpose is mostly, to serve as maps. So already in the months leading up to Return of the Jedi, Palpatine has already constructed wayfinders, or has at least, you know, started, you know, putting around, you know, wayfinders around the galaxy, like Easter eggs, what have you. So when did he start making the wayfinders? When did he already have the base of operations, set up on Exegol? So since we already know that between episodes 5 and 6, he has something, the only answers to this question is before episode one, before The Phantom Menace. And sometime, you know, obviously before episode five. And the only other period of time in which, you know, feasibly Palpatine could have, you know, discovered Exegol and or have, you know, established his base of operations is during the Great Jedi Purge, between episodes 3 and 4. And we will look to, legends and to reason as to the answer. Let's start first with the first one, the first alternative, that being before episode 1. This option would not have been available in Legends continuity, since in the Plagueis novel, we know exactly where Palpatine's from, what his upbringing was like, and exactly what his training consisted of, and what his teachings consisted of, the sort of dark side teachings Plagueis had instilled in him from a young age all the way up to literally the end of episode one. And what we know is that he was, you know, pretty much a spoiled, you know, aristocrat who was, he enjoyed, you know, the finer pleasures of being an aristocrat. However, he wanted something more. There was a undying, never-ending yearning within him to conquer and to seize power. And to, he knew he had the Force within him, that he was Force-sensitive. And with that, he wanted to, you know, use that to his advantage. And over time, Plagueis, you know, he brought him up and he instilled dark side teachings within him, wanting to abide by the rule of two, what have you. And lo and behold, right before, I think actually during the Duel of Fates, while Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and Maul are fighting, he is assassinating, Plagueis by suffocation and electrocution. Nowhere is there any indication that, you know, Plagueis and Palpatine went to, you know, Exegol or some other hidden dark side planet that was not Korriban. Since Legends has been aborted in the new continuity, or to give way for the new continuity, we now have the option of saying that Plagueis, or whoever Palpatine's master was in the new canon, whoever that may have been, may have, you know, let Palpatine in on a little dark side secret. The Jedi have been led to believe, as we see at the end of episode 1, that they are going by the rule of two, as instilled by Darth Bane, that there's always a master and an apprentice. Only two Sith there ever is, unless you're, you know, like Palpatine, you know, during the Clone Wars, who has, like, Dooku, who has Ventress, who then has, you know, Maul and the Savage, you know, all that aside, that, you know, maybe someone told Palpatine, hey, this is what they think, that there's only two. But in reality, there's a lot more of us. So it's very possible that while Plagueis or whoever may have been teaching Palpatine the ability to cheat death, to instill within him the desire to pursue immortality, that, you know, they were on Exegol and that they were, you know, doing dark side experiments and trying to cheat death there. Hence why we see all those, the cloning technology and the dark side alchemists there in the beginning of The Rise of Skywalker. Maybe all that technology and the secret to, achieving, the means to cheat death, maybe that was something that was ongoing before episode one had even begun. And in many ways, I'd like this theory, because I do not like the idea that Palpatine would go into achieving the great plan, fulfilling the great plan, fulfilling Order 66, instilling an empire, a Sith empire, you know, to eliminate the Jedi, without going in with his weapons, fully loaded, with a half-cocked weapon, what have you. I know these analogies suck, but you get what I mean. Like, Palpatine is the Phantom Menace. He was from episode 1 all the way to episode 9. He's always in the background. He always has a plan and a contingency to that plan and a contingency to that plan. So I do not like the idea that, you know, he had Order 66 planned out. He planned to kill his master. But just along the way, he just stumbled upon a dark side cult in the unknown regions while, you know, he was, you know, looking after bolstering his empire during episode 3 and 4. I do not like that. I would like to think that, you know, Palpatine had, you know, his Order 66 plan in place, the plan to create the empire, and just, you know, just in case his apprentice were to throw him down a reactor shaft, having realized that he is a father and that he was once a Jedi and he has emotions, you know, in case he were to be thrown down a reactor shaft, maybe it's time to have some clones in the background. I think that makes a lot of sense. It sounds very much like Palpatine, very much like the Phantom Menace he is. He has a plan, a contingency, and a contingency, and a contingency after that. Hence why he is the greatest, you know, dark side Sith force user in history. At least in the new canon, in Legends, you know, there's other people who can easily beat Palpatine in terms of, you know, dark side ability. But it's clear in the new canon, you know, that Darth Vader, as we mentioned in my last episode regarding Starkiller, that in the new canon, Darth Vader is a non-stop, you know, unstoppable, vicious killing machine. And Palpatine is the dark side user to end all dark side users. He is the, you know, Star Wars analog to the devil. You can't outthink him. The only way you can beat him is through sheer good, through sheer selflessness, through, you know, Vader, you know, realizing he's a father, realizing that, you know, the desire to cheat death, the desire to seek revenge is, you know, shadowed by his love for his son, you know, and his love for Padme, as we do see explored in the comics. You know, it just makes a lot of sense that, you know, prior to episode 1, Palpatine had either encountered, you know, Exegol, had encountered the dark side cultist, or that his master, preferably, hopefully it's Plagueis, you know, let him in on the secret, like, hey, there's actually more of us out there, and we're in the unknown regions. And it makes sense that it's in the unknown regions because, you know, look at the canon, even during the time of the Rise of Skywalker, the unknown regions are still heavily unknown. Hence why the only people who knew about Exegol was, one, Palpatine, and Luke, because he had the Sacred Jedi texts, which, you know, only there is it written that, hey, maybe there's this planet out there in the unknown regions where the Sith are hiding. But besides that, like, no mention of Exegol or anything in the unknown regions survived up to, you know, the Rise of Skywalker. So I like that idea. So let's put a pin on that. Let's explore the second option. The second option is that Palpatine, you know, while his empire was growing, spreading, while the clones were being transitioned out and the stormtroopers, the regular, you know, civilian turned, you know, army men, stormtroopers, they were being brought in. At some point, either the Empire or he personally went out exploring the unknown regions. Maybe Thrawn had a hand in helping him locate Exegol. But point is, he or somebody helped him find Exegol. And from there, he found the dark side cultists. And from there, he started making the contingency plan. Hey, maybe if one day Vader decides to throw me down a reactor shaft, I need a plan B. You know, again, I don't like him, you know, making up a plan on the fly, but let's just assume. And really, there is precedent for this happening. It is not unprecedented for Palpatine to discover a hidden, separated branch of the Sith and to incorporate them into his master plan. We can look to Legends. In Legends, there was this planet called Dromund Kaas. And on this planet... by the way, Dromund Kaas was... I don't think it was in the unknown regions. It may have been in Wild Space. But basically, it was actually wiped off the charts. Kamina was wiped off the charts by, I think, Sidious and Sifo-Dyas. But not only was Kamina wiped off the map in Legends, but so were a number of other planets that the Darkseid, users, Darkseid cultists had inhabited, one of them being Dromund Kaas. So anyway, on Dromund Kaas were this cult. Call it what it is. It's a cult of Darkseid users called the Prophets of the Darkseid. The Prophets of the Darkseid sound very eerie, and when you hear their description, it is what the Darkseid cultists and the new canon are, but it's certainly what I would like for them to be. Now, here, watch this. In Legends, the Darkseid, the Prophets of the Darkseid were, though they did not match Palpatine in power, they were extremely powerful in that they could, you know, see forward in time. The Prophets of the Darkseid, for instance, once Palpatine had encountered them, Palpatine learned that the rebels would destroy the first Death Star, and that Tarkin and all the other people on that Death Star, they would die. It was also because of the Prophets of the Darkseid that Palpatine learned that he would have to make a Death Star 2, and that he would die on the Death Star 2. And but even though that was the case, he was then able to make a contingency, that being Operation Shadowhand and was it the Dark Empire trilogy, where he then comes back as a clone. He comes back with his Sovereign class Eclipse Star Destroyer, and he basically makes another attempt at the galaxy, and actually in the wider universe. That is when he is at most strongest. It is because of the Prophets of the Darkseid that Palpatine was able to play, you know, the long game of chess. He was able to sacrifice a lot of his own empire, as we saw it in the original trilogy, to make his big play at the end, which was Operation Shadowhand. And that's because of the Prophets of the Darkseid. And also, one more thing that they contributed. They gave him Darth Lord Chrono, who also goes by the name of Black Hole. We do not have any analog for Darth Chrono Black Hole in the new canon, but who knows, maybe we will. Lord Chrono Black Hole, in case you're wondering, is a Emperor's Hand. I think he was the leader of the Prophets of the Darkseid. And Emperor Palpatine was impressed by him and his little cronies so much so that he made him not his apprentice, because that was Vader, but somewhat of a kind of what like Moff Gideon is in the new canon, and probably quasi Inquisitor, quasi Imperial Warlord. He gave him considerable control over the Empire, and so much so that he gave him his own units, his own armada, his own platoons, everything. And he was pretty much allowed to work as, again, like Moff Gideon, like an ISB officer, a communications intelligence officer made to, you know, root out the Jedi, you know, take on Luke Skywalker, foil the Rebels' plans, what have you. And when Palpatine died for the first time on the Death Star, again, Legends, Death Star 2, it was Lord Cronal and the Prophets of the Darkseid that began reviving, cloning Palpatine for Operation Shadowhand and his return. I just threw a lot of things at you, but point is, let's turn back to canon and let's see how these two can fit. I think the Darkseid cultists, if Palpatine were to have, you know, as he did in Legends, discover these cultists and, you know, find a way to incorporate them into his plan, into another contingency, that's not unreasonable. I don't like it as much as the first option, where he already had the contingency in place from pre-episode 1, but it is reasonable. There is precedent for it, and even the Legends people who are complaining about new canon, how, oh, that's so weird. No, Palpatine's alone. He totally bastardized the rule of two by, aligning with the Sith cultists. What they forget is that Palpatine threw away the rule of two as soon as he took on Vader, and as soon as he aligned himself with the Darkseid cultists. And when he took on Mara Jade, and when he took on Jarek from the Star Wars Dark Forces 2, those lines of games, when he had all those Emperor's Hands and stuff, he threw away the rule of two. especially when he took on the, when he was in cahoots with the prophets of the dark side. So in new canon, if you were to say that, oh, it's unreasonable that he would align with the Sith cultists, you're being a hypocrite. But let's just call it what it is. So he aligns with the dark side cultists, and from there, that's when he starts to realize, oh God, you know, Vader's going to throw me down a reactor shaft. You know, it is at that point he's like, hey, wow, you guys have really set up shop here. This hidden planet that's, you know, conveniently wiped off the maps. We should begin, you know, just planning for the canon analog of Operation Shadowhand, which is, I guess, at this point, is just, we'll just call it, you know, the Rise of Skywalker. That's because that's pretty much what it was. Rise of Skywalker was basically a bastardized, you know, canonization of Dark Empire. Some parts of it better than Dark Empire, most of it not, but what have you. That's a separate discussion. So there you go. Pre-episode one, Palpatine either discovered the cultist or was told about him. And then other option is during episode 3 and 4, Palpatine discovers them and, you know, incorporates them into the plan. Both of them are very reasonable. I like both. You already know which one I like more. But it's, you know, those are the two options. And hopefully by, I think it's next week or 2 weeks from now, we will have an option. We will have the, not the option, but the answer as to when Palpatine, you know, he found Exegol and became involved there and started planning for the events of the Rise of Skywalker, as we saw on screen. So yeah, there are the options, and if I have absolutely any sway, I would say the first one, because, you know, Palpatine's the Phantom Menace, he is the dark side user to end all dark side users, and I really think that's how it should be, and that is something that I must applaud the new canon for. It's keeping the focus on the people we see on screen in the main movies. In Legends, and even in the still ongoing Star Wars The Old Republic game, which I love, I still play, but, you know, it's clearly Legends. You know, you got Emperor Vitiate, who's also Emperor Valkorion, who's also, he goes by, like, another name. But basically, that guy can, like, if it was a 1v1 Valkorion versus Emperor Palpatine, it's going to be Valkorion. Which is, it's sacrilege, you know. It's, I don't think you should have a more powerful, you know, dark side user, you know, outside of, you know, media that most people are familiar of. Palpatine's Palpatine. Everyone, you know, sees him as, like, the dark side user, the ultimate badass, the ultimate, you know, guy with a master plan. And if you somehow manage to circumvent that plan, he's got another plan. And I think that's the way it should be. And that's why I ultimately hope that Exegol was something that Palpatine had in play since pre-episode 1. But in the end, it's up to Lucasfilm, Charles Soule, and the powers that be. And in the end, it's just another opportunity to theorize in a galaxy far, far away. So with that said, I'm going to close this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and may the Force be with you, always. Hey guys, so I'm going to do something I've never done before. I am going to add an addendum to the episode you just heard. I'd rather do this than put out another episode, because this is something that can be briefly discussed and added on to the current episode and really does not deserve its own episode. I was going to say that the episode 4 possibility, the possibility that Palpatine encountered the Sith cultists on Exegol sometime between the Jedi Purge and A New Hope, is not as outlandish as it may seem, as there is one more salient fact that we must take into account. In The Rise of Skywalker, all of the hundreds, if not thousands, of Imperial ships that we see on Exegol, their model is the Star Destroyer Mark 1. I think they're called the ISD-1s,
right? So they look like the Star Destroyers as they appeared in A New Hope, pre-Episode 5. So that tends to add credence that at some point during the Great Purge, after the Republic, well, now the First Galactic Empire started removing its Republic venerators and replacing them with the far more powerful and larger Imperial ISD-1s, Palpatine must have found Exegol, or he must have, you know, at that point started issuing the construction of the ISD-1s. Because one of the plot holes, if you will, in The Rise of Skywalker that a lot of people caught was, if you are, you know, amassing a fleet of, you know, Star Destroyers, and you have like the First Order Star Destroyers, the Resurgent Class Star Destroyers, which are by all accounts stronger than what the Empire had in its standard armadas, its standard arsenal, why not make it at least the ISD-2s, or why not make them, you know, Eclipse class, you know, Star Destroyers? Why not go above and beyond with, you know, make them stronger than the Mark 1s? It makes sense that as soon as Palpatine encountered Exegol during the early stages of the Empire, he started planning his contingency. Again, I don't like the idea that he would, you know, add on to his plan, you know, as he was going along. But at some point, he found Exegol, he found all the cultists, and he said, you know what? We just came out with these stronger, you know, ISD-1s, this new class of Star Destroyers. In the end, you're going to make so many of them that it doesn't matter if we come out with a more advanced model in the future. The fact that we have so many is, you know, that's enough. Just at this point, start working on it. I may need it in about, you know, 30, 40 years from now. Just start making hundreds of thousands of them. So just that fact, the fact that we see ISD-1s, an early class Imperial Star Destroyer model, as the model we see on in The Rise of Skywalker on Exegol, that also adds additional credence to the possibility that Palpatine ran into Exegol between episodes 3 and 4. And that's it. That's all I wanted to add. I, as you already know, I'm a bigger fan of the idea that he saw Exegol pre-episode 1, but I have to, you know, be objective here and, you know, just whatever facts tend towards the side that I'm not in favor of, I still have to be fair to that side, as I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people who would actually side against me and say, you know what, no, it's very much Palpatine the Phantom Menace to have a great plan and then along the way make an even better plan. So there you go. It's all the pieces are on the board now. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for tuning into this addendum. May the Force be with you.